Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. The President of the United States came up with a realization today, or actually over the last few days, that has truly surprised him. Apparently, now sit down for this, because this is a real important realization for our new president. Apparently, being president is difficult. Apparently, you can't just wing it. What do you know? Even though Donald said that, hey, healthcare, piece of cake. North Korea, no problem. China, not an issue. Apparently, as he said in a recent interview, this isn't as easy as he thought. It looks like if you don't know anything about the world, it's actually hard to run the world. And strangely enough, if you don't know anything about public policy, it's a bit hard to change it. Now, I know this is really difficult for Trumpists to understand, because they thought that being president was a lot like, oh, I don't know, driving a truck, which apparently actually also is more difficult than Donnie thinks, although he likes to get behind the wheel. Kind of reminds me of, you ever seen a really excited six-year-old boy behind the wheel of one of those little things that goes around in a circle in the circus, you know, or amusement park, and he's turning his wheel and he's pretending to honk the horn. Kind of like Donald Trump behind a truck. Well, that's kind of like the government. But Donald's learning all kinds of things, like he just learned who Frederick Douglass was. In fact, just the other day, he found out that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. Apparently, he didn't know that before. And as he switches his policies on everything from healthcare to NAFTA, apparently he's not going to get rid of NAFTA after all, to China. Apparently, China's not a currency manipulator. Apparently, he can't just control North Korea. Apparently, Syria isn't as easy as he thought it was. And of course, healthcare. He actually said that he found out that healthcare, get this now, healthcare was complicated. He said that. He was like,
this is hard.
This is hard. That's I'll tell you about that little clip a little bit later on. But poor Donald, you know, he's spending a third of his entire presidency at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. A third. Not, you know, I remember we used to complain about George W. Bush going to Crawford every month or so. This is every single weekend. This is a third of the time. And he's playing golf almost every day. So it's so difficult. You know, it's apparently Congress doesn't necessarily just do what you want them to do. He thought that all he had to do was what he'd done all the time in his real estate transactions. Bluff. Pretend he knew what he was talking about. Threaten a few people. Lie all the time. And he would get what he wanted. It turns out that, actually, for one thing, that doesn't work in business very well. That's why he has all the bankruptcies. Most of the money he's made has been by fraud, by cheating people through Trump University, or by cheating taxpayers through things like that wonderful idea where he lost $1 billion in other people's money and then deducted it off his taxes. Or simply by selling his name, which really isn't worth as much as you think. But the real question I have for you this hour, and I want you to call in at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, is what is it that Donald thought it would be? I think Donald Trump thinks of the presidency kind of like a king, right? You get to come in, you get to strut, they play Hail to the Chief. There's no real crown and scepter, but there might as well be. You know, I think he'd be surprised to find out that even being Queen of England, or Prince Charles, or Prince William, is not as easy as you think. You know, I'm a sitting delegate. I'm a state delegate in Virginia, and there's a lot of work in my little old job. Going and talking with people all the time, and meeting and just reading all the legislation, deciding on votes. President of the United States is really not that easy. So what we're finding is that Washington is telling him what to do. The military is telling him what to do. We dropped the mother of all bombs, and Donald didn't even know it was happening. They're just going on. It's kind of like the country's on autopilot. And to some extent, that's actually comforting. Because if Donald Trump actually knew what he was doing, he could destroy a lot more than he is. Luckily for us, he's incredibly incompetent. Anyway, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Poor Donald. Poor Donald. This is hard.
This is hard.
We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Apparently, our president has just decided that being president is not as easy as he expected. He actually said it was difficult. It was work. He used to say that he could actually be president and do his job at the same time. It wasn't going to be that big a deal. And one of the things that he's done is he has made sure that his son-in-law, for example, is going to go out and he's going to find peace in the Middle East. He's going to go out and solve. Oh, my Facebook link is down again. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to do two things at once. Trying to get this Facebook link back up. We're going to do that again. By the way, if you want to follow me on Facebook, it is a sketchy thing. But what you do is you go to facebook.com/ Mark Levin Talk, and you can follow me there. Anyway, my point is that poor Donald Trump is having trouble. And he's having trouble because apparently it is not as easy to be president as one might think. So let's see if, Mark, do we have those clips? All right. I'm sorry. We've got, in fact, I'll post it in Facebook, and that way people can follow it there. Or I'll give you here, see if that works. Sorry, folks. So he's Donald has found out, for example, that by talking to China, by talking to the head of China, that apparently North Korea, you can't just say a few words and stop it from doing things. The way he generally confronts problems is he goes in and he threatens people. And that's something that, weirdly enough, seemed to have worked for his electorate. See, one of the things that we, all of us who know something about politics, are struggling to understand is how it is that people continue to support this guy as president. And one of the things, in fact, I'm going to be doing next week is I'm going to be bringing in a talk radio host from the Washington area who's a strong Trump supporter just to try to figure out the dynamics of that thought process. I think a lot of it is people don't want to admit they're wrong. And if someone actually pulled the lever for Donald Trump, they can't admit they made a mistake. But what kind of rationalizations do you have to go through in your own head to justify something like that? I always give the example of, fixing cars. So I know nothing about fixing cars. You do not want me to be your auto mechanic. I couldn't tell you your carburetor from your radiator. I don't know the difference. You also don't want me I don't know, in a trivial pursuit game on sports or pop culture. You also don't want me doing heart surgery. Really not a good idea. That doesn't mean I'm not capable of learning heart surgery or car mechanics or pop culture one day. I probably could memorize the different Kardashian sisters. I don't happen to know their names. That's just not what my expertise is. But for some reason, voters feel like they are experts in the way public policy works. They understand more about healthcare than, oh, I don't know, all the people that have put our very complex system together. And apparently it's insulting of us to say to them, your president has no idea what he's doing, when he obviously doesn't. So what's fascinating to me is this whole mental disconnect between people who should recognize that, frankly, Donald Trump is like a 8-year-old child taking the reins of the White House and trying to figure out if everything works. And, you know, it's a little different. I mean, most 8-year-old children mean well. They're actually trying to succeed. I think in some ways Donald's trying. In other ways, he's just trying to profit from the whole thing. You got to remember how he got involved in this in the first place. Donald Trump never expected to win the presidency. He never expected to do well. He ran as a lark. Remember that a year and a half ago when he gave that rambling one-hour speech that nobody can remember except for one line, when he came down the escalator. This was all part of building Trump's brand. This was all part of the reality show. This was all part of getting more money at his hotels and businesses. He would be just like those other forgettable candidates. He would be like, you know, the others who ran for president, whose names actually escape me now, the ones who'd never held office before. So he was going to go in and just try to make a lot of money off of this kind of thing. And so it was really, no one was more shocked than he. Ben Carson, that's the person I was trying to think of. Ben Carson or Carly Fiorina, people who never held public office before. Hey, Carly Fiorina at least had run for something once. He'd go in and he would increase his brand. And he gave this rambling speech. Nobody can remember any of it except for, of course, for the one line where he said that Mexicans were rapists and murderers, and some he assumes were good people. And when he said that, most of us saw that as a laugh line, like an SNL line, the kind of thing. Who would say such a blatantly racist, stupid thing to say? But for those people who either hate Mexicans or people who frankly fear for their jobs and don't understand the economy and don't understand why they're not succeeding, if you're not succeeding in life, you really have two choices. You can blame yourself, or you can blame others. Or you can recognize, I guess there's three choices, you can recognize that the deck is stacked against you in some way or another and work to change policy so it's not stacked against you. Democrats actually do the third thing. We try to give everyone access to education or a minimum wage or job training so that they, people have a chance to succeed. But in the Republican world, if you are not succeeding, if you're not rich, you're a failure by Republican standards. And so Republicans look down on anyone who's not super rich. And in order to get votes from people who are in the working class, they can't tell them that Democratic programs will fix everything. That's the Democratic plan, right? You can't have minimum wage and job training and health care for all and things like that Democrats want, because that's not the Republican plan. And you can't blame themselves. Republicans, you'll find, they tend to blame poor black people for being poor. They tend to blame poor Latinos for being poor. But poor whites, they can't blame them for being poor because they need their votes. So they blame others. They let them blame blacks or Latinos or women or gay people or whoever, immigrants, whoever the demon of choice is. So when Donald Trump blamed Mexicans, a number of ears perked up like, ooh, I like this guy. And the irony, of course, is that Donald Trump beat a whole bunch of Republicans who, whatever you think of them, certainly have had some plans. They had some knowledge of government, a number of senators and governors and people like that who had held office and had some idea of what public policy is. But his people didn't want to hear public policy. Public policy is boring. It's much more exciting to have a reality star. So Donald Trump knew he'd never be president. He ran. He ran to increase his business. He was shocked as anyone. He said so. He said how shocked he was to have him succeed. And then when he ran against Hillary, he never expected to win that either. In fact, his concession speech was written long before his acceptance speech, which was written at the last minute. He fully expected her to win. Everyone expected her to win. Donald Trump is the dog that caught the car, right? The dog chases the car. He barks a lot. It's really fun to chase the car. But when the dog catches the car, what does he get? He has nothing to do. What's he going to do with the car? He can't grab a car in his teeth. So he just barks and barks and barks. And that's what Donald Trump is doing. Or in the words of Will and Grace, this is hard.
But this is hard.
That clip, by the way, is from one of the classic Will and Grace episodes where Grace is looking up a nurse who's about to give her blood. And apparently she's a nurse trainee, and Grace is very scared by someone who's obviously never given blood before. So it's to me, that's what Donald Trump is like. He is like that nurse. He has no idea what he's doing, and he's scaring all of us. The question will be, when do his people get it? When is it that the people that voted for him finally get an inkling that he has no idea what he's doing? Let's go to Reggie in Georgia on line three. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, Reggie, you're on the air.
Oh, how you doing, Mark? Happy Monday to you, man.
Happy Monday.
If he didn't want to run or become president, why did he run to become president in the first place, man?
Oh, because he wanted to increase his brand. So this is a guy who's made tons of money off pretending to be something he's not. Right?
Right.
He makes money off these Trump hotels that, frankly, many of them fail and go bankrupt. Trump Steaks or Trump Vodka or Trump University. He knew that if he ran, it'd be like any good reality star. It'd be a fun little show. People would watch. They'd be amused. And more people would go to his hotels because, you know, just the same reason people go to any famous place to get their pictures taken. He ran to make money off right. his fame.
Right. And how do you feel about his him being at the NRA convention last week? Or his speeches at the NRA convention, because you know he got people like us, such as Sarah Palin, Kid Rock, and everybody's favorite survivor.
You know, I got to say this: compared to Sarah Palin, Sarah Palin looks like a genius compared to Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, she's not that bright, but she at least has an idea of, you know, how the government works or how a bill becomes a law. She's got some basic basic civics. Frankly, Sarah Palin understands more about the American government than Donald Trump. I know that's a very low standard. And then there's the question of his speech in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is just vicious attack on the press. Think what kind of dictator Donald Trump would be if he understood how government worked. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Apparently, our president has just made a realization that being president is not that easy.
This is hard.
Let's play Meet the Press. Actually did a nice compilation of some of the many times that Donald Trump said that being president would be easy. Mark, let's play some of those.
We are keeping one promise after another. And frankly, the people are really happy about it.
In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last night, the president marked 100 days in office in his favorite element.
We're going to have the wall. Don't worry about it. Major tax relief for the middle class. We're going to get the premiums down. We're going to get the deductibles way down. We're going to take care of every single need you're going to want to have taken care of. But it's not going to cost that kind of money.
Stop it right there. Stop it right there. So the wall, we're going to get the wall done. Well, I'm proud to say that the Democrats and some Republicans stopped the wall. There is no funding for the wall. The Democrats did a really good job on that. Of course, the problem with the wall is that any 20-foot wall, you get a 25-foot ladder. A 30-foot wall, you get a 35-foot ladder. You just 2,000 miles across desert and river to have a complete wall. You can have a few sections, but you just can't wall off the entire area. But the real problem, of course, is that he said Mexico was going to pay for it. Now, when he said that, intelligent people laughed. When he said that, those of us, and I don't mean to say, you know, oh, snooty Washington policymakers knew Mexico was going to pay for that wall. I'm talking about your ordinary 12-year-old said, well, Mom, why would Mexico pay for the wall? And the answer is, of course, they won't. But there's this magical thinking among Trump supporters that he can click his heel three times and there's no place like home and bingo, you have a wall and Mexico builds it. Well, that ain't happening. And then tax reform. So Donald Trump knows nothing about tax reform. He wants to pay less taxes, and he wants a system whereby poor people pay more so that rich people pay less so that he gets lots of money. And to do that, he has to, of course, rake over the coals the very people that he claims he wants to help. Okay, that hasn't really come forward yet. He put forward a one-pager. That's not going anywhere. But listen to how he described health care in that clip. He said, you're going to all get cheaper plans. Everybody's going to be better off. All of you will have cheaper plans. All of you will be covered more, and it won't cost that much. You're going to have everything, right? Gold and rainbows and puppies, and it'll all just rain down on your head, and it will be really easy. What's amazing to me is when you promise someone the world, not that people make these promises. Snake oil salesmen have been promising magic elixirs, well, for ever since humanity has existed, for millennia. The crazy thing is that the people actually believe it. And apparently we're not supposed to point out to them that their belief is not matched in reality. Let's play a little more Meet the Press.
It's a stark contrast to this admission earlier in the week.
This is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier.
The 100-day honeymoon is regarded, politically at least, as the easiest part of a president's job. On the campaign trail, governing looked easy.
So a lot of politicians said, you can't get Mexico to pay for the wall. I said, oh, it's going to be so easy.
You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy.
Presidential's easy.
But of the 10 major pieces of legislation Mr. Trump promised in his contract with the American voter, none have been accomplished. If Mr. Trump is still battling Washington, then Washington appears to be winning. Healthcare is stalled for the second time in the House.
I'm disappointed. I'll tell you, Paul Ryan's trying very, very hard.
The president's plan to overhaul thousands of pages of the federal tax code? So far, just a single sheet of paper.
We will let you know these specific details at the appropriate moment.
A White House demand to include a down payment for a border wall in any spending bill dropped.
Build the wall!
We'll build the wall.
After promising to terminate NAFTA, instead, on Saturday, Mr. Trump signed an executive order which simply launches a six-month review. Mr. Trump railed against so-called globalists during the campaign.
Hillary Clinton is the chief emissary for globalism. Wants to surrender America to globalism. A representative for globalists. You know what globalists are?
But this week, he called himself one, telling the Wall Street Journal, hey, I'm a nationalist and a globalist. And then there's the Russia investigation. It continues to hang over this presidency, with new questions this week about former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn.
When they say we didn't vet, well, Obama, I guess, didn't vet, because he was approved at the highest level of security by the Obama administration.
Well, we got a lot to get to, so no better.
Okay, let's stop it. So he's actually now blaming President Obama for Mike Flynn. So, you know, it's hard to know whether to laugh or to cry. If this were not reality, it would actually be a kind of a sick comedy. I mean, it wouldn't be believable. To be fair, no one would believe that anyone in America would actually elect such a person, even though he lost by 3 million votes, that enough people would want someone this incompetent to be president and would actually believe in his magical thinking. But do we laugh or do we cry? Let me know what you think. 888-48-MARK. Let me get back to Reggie. I know you've been holding on for a while, Reggie. What else did you want to say?
Well, I was, you know, like I said, why did he choose to run for president in the first place? And I just want to know, what did you think about his NRA speech this past week? Because, like I said before, I'm sure you have people like such as Sarah Palin, Kid Rock, and everybody's favorite survivalist, Ted Nugent. You know, Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Survivalist, Mr. Cat Scratch Fever. And may I dare add or say Mr. Pedophile? Because having sex with underage teenage girls is certainly most definitely a no-no within each and every single state within the Western Hemisphere under our laws, correct?
I mean, I don't know the specifics of Ted Nugent, except that I know that he's called he's used some really, really nasty language that I don't care to repeat on the radio to describe Hillary Clinton and anyone who disagrees with him. One of the things I find interesting, though, about whether it's Ted Nugent or Donald Trump is their critiques about, say, President Obama were not only, you know, really over the top. They were, why can't he get it done? Why can't he just solve all health care? Why can't he wave his, I'm going to wave my magic wand and get it all done. Apparently, it's, you know, running a country of 250 million people, of 300 million people, and making sure that everyone gets what they want, apparently isn't a piece of cake. And that's why to hear Donald loudly muse, you know, wow, I just didn't realize. I just didn't realize. This is hard. It's just stunning. It almost leaves you breathless. So, you know, the NRA in Harrisburg, he's repeating the hate because hate is what got him elected. It's this feeling of people who aren't doing well in their lives, who are resenting their lives, and frankly need to blame someone else. And, you know, I was always aware, for example, that the modern-day Ku Klux Klan was full of people like that. You know, 100 years ago, the Ku Klux Klan was mostly the people who ran the judges and the police, and they'd put on their robes, and they were the ones running these little southern towns, and they put on their robes, and they murdered black people, and they did so to scare people. Whereas today's Klan is really, they're not the people running society. They're a group of pathetic losers who use hate to try to make themselves feel better about their lives. What I didn't realize was that so many of the country were people that allowed hate to control their views. I mean, here's the thing. If you're very rich, I understand why you support Donald Trump. That actually makes sense. Donald Trump is robbing poor people to give you more money. If you're a billionaire, if you're on Wall Street, if you want your taxes down, that's why you support Donald Trump, not because you believe any of his rhetoric. You know he's a liar. You know he's a charlatan. You know he's a fake. But he is helping you, so I get it. Now, if you really love your guns, I guess that could be a reason to support Donald Trump. Although I seem to remember the NRA saying that President Obama was going to take away all your guns. Well, he didn't. He didn't come close to it. He didn't do anything like that. In fact, the vast majority of Americans, including the majority of NRA members, support background checks. So I don't know why the official NRA wants criminals and terrorists to have guns, because their membership doesn't. But there's this perception, you see. They've been fooled. They believe that, you know, Hillary Clinton or liberals are going to come in and are going to confiscate the guns of law-abiding people. When the thing that liberals want to do is make sure that criminals don't have guns. But it's all part of being on the same team. It's like a sports team. It's you cheer on your team whether they do right or wrong, right? If you like the New England Patriots, you're not even going to consider the fact that the ball may have been deflated. Your team cannot do wrong, right? You can't cheat. It's your team. You got to cheer for your team, right or wrong. And there are people who are cheering for Donald Trump, right or wrong.
So Donald Trump is like Robin Hood for the rich, right?
Yes, but he is convinced. I'm not, like I said, rich people who vote for Donald Trump, I understand.
Right. Right.
They're just selfish. That doesn't mean all rich people are selfish. There are many rich people that support Hillary Clinton or support the Democrats because they believe in fairness. Mm-hmm. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy were very rich people, but they supported fairness. But if you are selfish and rich, yeah, you support Donald Trump. But that's a tiny percentage of his votes. The real mm-hmm. question is the people who, I guess, the old culture wars, right? Whether it's guns or whether it's abortion or whether it's the real question, I think, is when people aren't doing well in their lives,
mm-hmm.
why so don't they want minimum wage going up? Why don't they want health care? I think they do. I think that poor working white people do want health care, do want jobs, do want a higher wage. And what they don't realize, apparently, is that Donald Trump is going to take all that away from them and that the mm-hmm. Democrats support them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when they're going to wake up, but maybe when this great Obama economy eventually runs out of steam, maybe a bunch of them will wake up.
Right. Well, why don't he just up and quit if he doesn't like being president of the United States?
You know what? It's possible. It's possible. I don't know. We'll find out. It won't be anytime soon. I think because of pride. Mostly,
right.
He wouldn't. Let me take a break and encourage others to call in as well. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Thanks, Reggie, for your call. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Donald Trump thinks being president is hard. Poor Donnie. He never knew. He just never knew that actually it requires some work.
Hard. This is hard.
Yeah. You know, it's you don't just get to sit back and play golf. You actually got to make decisions. Poor guy. Aaron, on line 3, Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Aaron.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. I like listening to your show on the way to work here.
Thanks.
Hey, I just I listened to your last caller, and I want to say it all the time. That's the way I feel anyway, is the support for Donald Trump and conservatism, NRA and everything, is based in racism. It doesn't matter really what Donald Trump does, because they all know that deep down in, he doesn't like black people, he doesn't like Mexicans, they certainly doesn't like Muslims. And that's why he's there. It doesn't matter what he does.
I'll tell you,
why,
Aaron,
he's there.
Some of that I agree with you. For some people, you're absolutely right. But I think you have to go a little bit deeper. You have to say it almost goes to why people are racist to begin with. And I think the heart of it is that no one wants to admit that they've made a mistake. No, really, we say we want presidents to tell us the truth, but most of us don't. Many of us want a president to lie to us, want the president to promise us the moon. And then once we vote for the politician that promises us the moon, then we don't want to believe our friends that say, you were lied to. You were sold a bill of goods. Think about the person who buys the snake oil. You know, there's all kinds of medical treatments that are supposed to do magical things for you. And people buy them. And then when you say, I think you wasted your money, they don't want to believe it.
That's true. But I also think there's another point, too, is – And I'm guilty of it myself. And it's the main reason I supported Hillary Clinton. When really, I like Bernie Sanders. I am anti-conservative. I am a liberal, but I am anti-conservative. And just like me, people on the right are anti-liberal.
That's true.
They don't care who the person is. They just know they do not want a liberal in the opposite, because liberal brings civil rights, all the different things that we know, that reason why we're liberal. And that is as much reason why Trump is in there as why I supported Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's part of the point. Politics has become even more a team sport. You know, it used to be 20, 30 years
Absolutely.
Ago at the time when, well, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, used to go out with Speaker Tip O'Neill, Democrat, and had a healthy
right.
majority.
Those days are over.
They would go out, they'd have a drink, they'd disagree, and they'd come to some kind of compromise. Those days are gone. And one of the reasons those days are gone is there's very little overlap between the Democratic and Republican parties. There were Democrats, there were Republicans, and a whole bunch of Americans were in the middle. And even though today something like 30% of Americans call themselves independents, they're not really. They're Republican-leaning independents or Democratic-leaning independents. The real number of Americans in the middle is tiny. And it becomes cultural. It becomes like cheering for your team. And people don't believe anyone that says anything bad about their team, no matter how true it is. And interestingly, Democrats are more likely to criticize, I think, within the team than Republicans are. And I think that's some of the reasons why Hillary and Bernie had it out, even though I don't think their differences were – I mean, they had differences, but compare the differences between them, compare the differences between them and the Republicans, you know, it's a difference between, a pit and a gulf. I mean, there's massive amounts of differences. But I think that people don't like to be uncertain. And following a leader off a cliff gives you a certain certainty, right? I compare it to the people who literally drank the Kool-Aid. Remember where the expression is from. The expression is from Reverend Jim Jones in Jonestown, Guyana, who laced Kool-Aid with arsenic to have all the people kill themselves. And people drank the Kool-Aid because they're wanting to believe in some certainty that just Jim Jones guy was the Messiah or whatever, actually trumped, sorry to use that word, their own inner sense of truth or falsity. And I still don't know how to get out of that. You know, we have people who watch only conservative news, people who watch only liberal news. You know, I wouldn't want someone to only listen to my show. One of the reasons why next week, next Monday, I'm bringing on air a conservative talk radio host in the Washington, D.C. area, and he brought me on his show, is because I think we need to talk with each other. I think we need to understand each other. It's almost like we live in two Americas, and it's really scary.
That, to a certain extent, too. But more importantly, I think right now the Democrats need to regroup, get fresh blood, and start over. Because I will always feel, you know, it's back to the my side versus their side. But the reason we're dealing with Trump right now is because of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Good or bad or indifferent, we're suffering the consequences of either being too smug to realize that we were going to lose or just too overconfident. But we need to regroup as Democrats for sure.
Well, absolutely. Hillary Clinton's not perfect. No one is. I don't think she has the charisma of her husband or Barack Obama, for that matter. On the other hand, we had the FBI literally pulling the strings for the other team, bringing up her parking ticket while failing to mention that Donald Trump was – they were looking into treason from his campaign, looking into espionage. That investigation was going on. They didn't mention that. So Comey and the Russians certainly did their share. I think they made the difference. But you're right. We can always be better as Democrats. Hillary Clinton could be better. And we're working on that in Virginia in 2017. Tune in on Wednesday, same time, same place.